And now the game where we invite accomplished people on to answer questions about stuff really too trivial for them to take notice of. All right, so let's say you spent 7 years as the head writer of Saturday Night Live. Now what do you do? How about write, produce, and star in a sitcom in which you play the head writer of a show very much like Saturday Night Live? It's something you know, and you probably already have the wardrobe. Tina Fey is the creator of NBC's 30 Rock. She joins us now. Tina, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much, Peter.
It's great to have you here.
It's very nice to be with you.
So you were, in fact, you came rocketing out of Chicago's second city.
Yes, sir.
And you became a staff member, then the head writer for Saturday Night Live pretty quickly. A meteoric rise, if I do say so myself.
Thank you.
We wonder what that's like. We have our own little show here, and we're just public radio. We're not much of anything, and we still fight like cats and dogs. What was it like to actually run that show, filled with famous actors and egotistical writers? And
well, it was very challenging at first. I remember when I first went there, and it was a lot of male writers, and they all seemed to be about 2 feet taller than me and about 5 years older than me. But everyone was we all got along very well, actually, while I was there.
Did you intimidate them in any way? Did you learn tricks to sort of put them in their place?
No, I imagine myself. I probably looked like a 7-year-old girl in a man's business suit, shrieking at the top of her voice. Like, that's probably how I was perceived.
And then, of course, after Saturday Night Live, just recently, you have your own show on NBC, mm-hmm. 30 Rock, which, as I said, is about, well, a woman who looks very much like you.
Yes.
Doing a job that you used to do for a fictional show very much like Saturday Night Live.
Yes, it is. It's sort of about that world. It really is. We like to say, and the network likes me to say, that it is a workplace comedy.
Yes.
Because we want, you know, I think it's anybody who has any kind of job could hopefully relate to the show, and it is. It's
so
sort of,
the network likes you to say that?
They like me to remind people that it's a workplace like any other, and that they don't have to like show business.
And when did they say that to you? Did they call you aside to say that, or was it in a general meeting?
They send me huge floral arrangements, and that's always written on the card.
Oh. It's say it's a workplace comedy.
It's a workplace comedy.
It's funny because I've noticed this, that Hollywood seems very shy about doing stuff about the entertainment industry, assuming that no one will be interested in their stories.
Well, people, I guess they have some statistics that show that people don't care.
Right.
Oh, but if you tell them it's a workplace comedy.
But it's really a workplace comedy.
Wow.
Now, one of the interesting things about 30 Rock is it happens to be one of two shows on NBC this year about a Saturday Night Live type show, backstage scene. The other one, of course, being the drama Studio 60 and the Sunset Strip. That couldn't have been planned.
No, it certainly wasn't my plan.
No. And did you ever feel like you needed to react somehow to the fact that that Aaron Sorkin, the great television impresario, was doing this other show in the same setting?
I don't know. I think, weirdly enough, from what I've heard and the few times I've seen it, there a lot of times are sort of similar topics that come up, but we're on different coasts and we don't know each other, so it's sort of a random coincidence.
Really?
And I think we certainly handle things differently. I think the shows are very different.
They are. I mean, you actually said this, but I'm going to quote you back to yourself. You said in one interview I read that 30 Rock is Hogan's Heroes to Studio 60's Schindler's List.
I stand by that.
Both workplace.
Yeah.
Both workplaces. Yeah.
Have you thought about your next project? Because I have an idea. Why don't you do a backstage comedy about a backstage comedy set in the world of a late night sketch comedy?
I'm going to do a comedy about a mirror factory where it's two mirrors facing each other and you can see infinity.
And it's just every week it's like, woo, you can see all the way back to the beginning of time. Tina Fey, we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Let me hear your body talk. Your body talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, Olivia Newton-Castle. We think we are special, we humans, because of our fancy words. But it turns out that we do most of our communicating through primitive, unconscious gesturing. Just like our primate relatives. At least that's what we are told in the definitive book of body language by Alan and Barbara Pease. Now, Tina, we are going to ask you 3 questions about body language. If you get 2 right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice on their home answering machine recorded while leaning in over the machine to express his natural dominance. So, Carl, who is Tina Fey playing for?
Tina is playing for Christopher Young of Philadelphia.
Yay, Philadelphia.
Yay. So you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Tina, here we go. A lot of our body language, unsurprisingly, concerns the mating ritual. If a man is chatting up a woman, which of these is a sign that she is interested in him? A, she constantly scratches and rubs her nose. B, she fondles, plays with, and otherwise strokes her handbag. Or C, she closes her eyes and lets her head roll around on her neck.
I always found that frightening when they do that.
I think A, it's not A because I think the nose thing is lying.
Okay.
Handbag or I'm sitting here, I'm closing my eyes and rolling my head around my neck.
Does it make you feel sexy or any men noticing?
It makes me feel like Stevie Wonder. So I'm going to guess B.
You're going to guess B, the handbag. You're right.
Yay.
According to this book, women see their handbags as extensions of their bodies. So playing with their handbags, or better yet, letting the man touch it or look into it, is an expression of desire for physical intimacy. Hey, it's just a handbag.
So what does that mean when you get mugged?
Exactly. Wait, because my body is filthy, heavy, and stuffed with garbage.
By the way, if the woman rubs her nose a lot, it probably means she has a cold, and if she lets her head loll around, she's probably drunk. All right, that was right. I love how you arrived at that. So we'll see how you do with this one. Men are famous for constantly and obviously checking out women's bodies while talking to them. Women, on the whole, do not do that. Why not? Is it A, because women are hardwired to understand that nose size and ear size are reliable indicators of other attributes? B, because women rely far more on scent to determine physical attractiveness? Or C, because women are doing it, of course, but they don't have to move their eyes around because they have better peripheral vision?
Well, okay, so once again, I don't think it's B because I think men actually are more triggered by scent. And C is the peripheral vision.
Yeah.
I'm going to say A.
You're going to say A. Yeah. No, it was C. It was the peripheral vision.
Nerds.
Yeah, there you are. Women check out other people's body parts just as much as men do, say the authors of the book, but because they have better peripheral vision, they're just not so bloody obvious about it. By the way, they say this is also why your husband cannot see the pickle jar even when it's right in front of him when he opens the refrigerator. And the woman walks up and goes, it's right there. Are you blind? And that's why. All right, Tina, you've got one right and one wrong with one to go. Get this one right? You get all. Now, a lot of body language is culturally determined. For example, if you're an American woman and you're taking a bath, and somebody walked in suddenly, you would reflexively cover your breasts with one hand and your genitals with the other. But if you were a Samoan woman, you would do what? A, cover your navel. B, get out and offer the other person the use of the bath. Or C, avert your own eyes from his or her embarrassing clothedness.
Weird. I'm trying to think if they have any kind of, do they hula dance? Do Samoans hula dance? Because then we'd know that they show their navels.
I see your point. Do Samoans.
Aren't they big? Could they hula dance?
They're big folks, yeah?
Yeah, I don't think they can.
If you know any Samoan women and they're taking a bath right now, we'll wait.
Let me look at my building. Boy, this is going to be a stone-cold guess.
All right.
Get out and offer you the bath.
That's your stone-cold guess?
No, I'm still going through them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good thing I checked then.
It's a complete guess.
All right.
But I'm going to say C.
You're going to say C, avert their own eyes from you.
Yeah.
That's your choice.
Should
I shouldn't have asked. Yes, that's your choice?
Sure.
No, it was A, cover their navel.
Ah!
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it's true. They'd cover their navel. For your information, by the way, if you were to surprise a Muslim woman in the bath, she would cover her face. A Sumatran woman would cover her knees.
Huh.
Wow.
And I'm just curious as to how the researchers figured all this out.
Me? I just fixed the lock on my door.
Yeah.
Carl, how did Tina Fey do on our quiz?
Not well.
She needed two correct answers to win for Christopher Young. Tina, you had just one correct answer.
Sorry, Christopher.
Tina Fey is the writer, star, producer, and creator of the NBC show 30 Rock. And for some years, she was the head writer at Saturday Night Live. Tina Fey, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Ooby-doo, I want to be like you. Hop-dee-ooby-doo, I want to walk like you.